Vape detectors in WA schools, Perth Airport to get its first on-site hotel, and Buckingham Palace in lockdown. It's Wednesday, the 3rd of March.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, mate.
G'day, mate. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day to you too. Let's get straight into it and talk about vape detectors in WA schools. Now, this is something that we've spoken about on the West Live quite a bit, going back a few years ago now. I remember back in the day, we had a mum and dad on the show who had a 15-year-old who was addicted to nicotine because of vapes in schools. We put questions to the health department at the time. They passed the buck on to the cops. The cops passed the buck back on to the health department. And nothing happened. But now apparently it's priority number one for the health department and the education department.
Yeah, now it's an issue. So the education department is planning a trial of vape detectors in public school toilets to catch kids who hide inside to puff on e-cigarettes. Now, these don't come cheap, $2,000, and that doesn't include installation. This is how they work. If they go off, they send an alert to school leaders via mobile or email so they can then go to the toilets and see who's in there puffing on the vapes.
They better be checking their emails pretty often.
That's true. So Education Minister Tony Booty has said that this trial is one of a number of measures aimed at preventing a new generation of nicotine addicts. So before this, what they've been doing is lessons in the dangers of vaping as part of health classes. Now they're stepping it up a notch. Some independent and Catholic schools already have these vape detectors in Perth, but this trial will obviously be a more wide-scale rollout across Western Australia.
Yeah, we reported on Aquinas, I think, installing vape detectors a couple of years ago in the West. And so you wonder, you know, how many young nicotine addicts have occurred since then, right?
Yeah, because the government's not doing anything. And this is the thing, they're progressing from the vapes onto cigarettes.
Yeah, which is why the Federal Health Minister, Mark Butler, announced the plan this week to ban the disposable vapes, plain packaging of e-cigarettes, bans on flavours, $234 million crackdown. So we'll see where it goes next. Just as we saw where the RBA went on rates, well, I said yesterday I didn't think that they were going to increase rates. Just confirming for everybody again, I am not an economist.
I didn't think they were going to increase them either. And I think most people were in that camp. So it came as a bit of a shock.
Old Phil,
they were over here in Perth and probably thought, we can get away with it. Exactly. We're over here.
Exactly. So what happens in Perth stays in Perth.
Well, they had a swanky dinner last night. How's this sound? Barramundi, risotto and a lemon tart. Not too bad. That was the dinner hosted by the RBA governor at Fraser's last night up at King's Park for WA's elite. Not the greatest look on the same night when families are getting together at the dinner table, working out what they need to cut to deal with this 11th rate rise.
So not a good look.
Yeah. Jessica Page from 7 News asked the RBA governor, look, how long is this going to go on for? When is the target for inflation to come down to a level that's acceptable? And he said 2025. So we may be in for some more pain.
Gee whiz. And it's interesting, like, they paused the rate rises last month to give themselves a chance to take the pulse of the economy, I think was one of the phrases that they used. And Philip Lowe has said on this most recent rate rise that it was because of the partly rebound in Australian property prices. We saw them bounce back a little bit last month. And this is what worries me, right? And I actually think he's probably spot on when he says it's going to last for another couple of years, because anytime there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, people go, oh, you beauty, we're back in business, let's buy houses, prices go back up, let's go spend some money. It's going to be, I think, a bit of push and pull between the RBA and rate rises and us as consumers to try and control inflation, because I think Australians have money to spend and they need to spend it.
Well, I remember seeing a piece in the West arguing that we should take money out of the market, so to speak, and put it into super. So there, it's there and it has the same effect. People aren't spending the money. Instead, it's people with a mortgage that are getting stung month after month.
Yeah, pain indeed. And for people with back pain, there's some good news.
Yes, there's a groundbreaking trial that is happening, and it's Perth is very much involved in this. This trial has been designed in Perth. It's called cognitive functional therapy. And so it involves personal coaching, and it involves not just the body, but also the mind. So traditional treatment is thrown out the window. Patients are taught confidence and freedom of movement, and given the tools to help themselves without the need to keep going back to appointments. So great news, because lots of people suffer with chronic back pain. So today the results are being published in a prestigious medical journal and in 7 news bulletins throughout the day. You can find out how sufferers can get relief.
Yeah, I think that's great news. It does affect so many people, and it can be really quite debilitating when it's chronic and at its worst. And so, yeah, we'll see where that one goes.
I just had it the other day. I was repotting a plant.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not chronic back pain, I know that, but I was like, oh, I can't
I'm
get back
as
up
you.
Now.
I get like a back pain every now and then, but the people who have it chronically
every
and
day,
pain,
can you imagine that every day and having to deal with it day in, day out?
It becomes a mental health issue.
Yeah.
And you can understand why. And now let's get into part of the show where we're going to speak about the coronation. We almost need some kind of a sting, you know? God save the Queen. That's what I would do. But anyway, so the first coronation story I've got for you.
High budget sound effect, that one.
So there's been a controlled explosion at Buckingham Palace. Did you hear that this morning?
Yeah, they found some cartridges.
Yeah, after a bloke has been arrested allegedly for throwing suspected shotgun cartridges onto the palace grounds of Buckingham Palace. A cordon was put in place after a man was detained at about 7 p.m. British Standard Time on overnight for us. After he approached the gates of the palace, according to Scotland Yard, he was arrested on suspicion of possessing an offensive weapon. No shots were fired, according to reports, no injuries to officers or the public. Police say they're not treating the matter as terror-related. That was my first thought.
What are they treating it as Nutter-related?
Isolated mental health incident, according to Scotland Yard. He was also found in possession of a suspicious bag, which was what led to the controlled explosion. That's what they do these days. They set up the little tent over the top of it and blow it up just to be on the safe side. The King and Camilla, the Queen consort, were not at Buckingham Palace at the time.
Oh, where were they?
Somewhere else. They got a lot going on. Like meeting with the Prime Minister of Australia, Anthony Albanese. Albo had an audience with King Charles overnight, which was said to be insightful and rewarding. There you go.
And he says he's going to pledge allegiance to the King.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, right? So he said that he was asked whether he would swear allegiance, and Albo replied, he will do what is entirely appropriate as the representative of Australia, promising to engage in that spirit by swearing the oath. He's done it 10 times when he was sworn into Parliament as a minister. As Prime Minister. So there you go. So it's not like he hasn't sworn his fealty to the crown before. He's done it a bunch of times, and he's happy to do it again with King Charles. He also gave an interview to Piers Morgan while he was over there.
Yes.
And that was quite interesting, because he acknowledged that Australians have a wide range of views on whether to become a republic. And he also told Piers Morgan that he himself was a lifelong Republican. And of course, he appointed somebody to have a look at a republic when he became Prime Minister here in Australia.
Well, I think that the thing that's interesting about the coronation, of course, it's a moment in history, regardless of whether you're a monarchist or a republican, just to look at it from afar. You can kind of make your case either way.
Well, it's like the Queen's kind of funeral, memorial. That was, sort of pomp and ceremony that hadn't been seen for 100 years. This is going to be the same, except it's only been, 60? 70 years?
Yeah. How long's Charles going to be around? He's come to it late in the piece. Sorry, I'm not wishing anything upon him. I'm just saying William will be here soon, I suspect.
I agree. But here in Perth, though, the government house is going to turn purple.
Yeah, happened last night. In our vision that we're showing on Sunrise, it almost looks a bit blue. But I'm told it was purple. If you want to verify those facts, it'll be on again tonight. Mm. So, of course, purple being the colour of royalty.
Yeah.
And you can go and there on Saturday at Government House during the Garden Open Times. You can sign the book, put your message in with Charles and Camilla. So Perth's little thing. I mean, when Perth loves something, everything lights up. Stadium, Council House.
Madagara Bridge.
This one is just Government House.
So the others aren't going to do it?
Well, not at this stage. They haven't. No.
I bet they will.
No, Council House was, I'm not sure why, but it was lit up like a disco this morning. Yeah, we just see it because our sky cam gets a really good shot. I don't go camping outside Council House.
See what they're doing today.
Hey, Baz, what are you up to today?
You probably just text him and find out.
Yeah.
Perth Airport is going to get its first on-site hotel. Are you excited about that?
I think it's great.
But is it needed?
Well, it's...
Who's going to stay there?
I mean, is anything needed when it comes to you? Oh, the train line wasn't needed. Yeah. Now the hotel's not needed.
How many people are taking that train out to the airport, out of curiosity?
I don't know. I think less than they expected.
Yeah. 250-room hotel. But I don't know who's going to stay there. Like, I get it in other cities where you may be transiting and you've got, you know, like 24 hours or, I don't know, you've got a conference or something near the airport. But I don't know. I don't know who's going
to
stay.
Well, there's a fair few motels, aren't there, along the highway leading up to the airport. Yeah, so yeah, maybe that's
some of the best. some of the best hotels.
It's a real tour, isn't it, when you drive down the highway to the airport? Oh, what's that there?
And do you think a lot about what goes into the food that you eat, like fruit and vegetables, pesticides, that sort of stuff?
God, are you talking about it hotels or
we've moved on.
What goes into it? Look, yeah, I probably think about it, but not a massive amount because I eat fairly healthily.
Yeah, but this is the thing, right? So I do as well, eat a lot of fruit and vegetables, and yeah, you don't really think about, you know, the pesticides and the chemicals that might be used on them. You just assume that someone is looking into that and it's all fine. Well, think again. A new report commissioned by the Department of Agriculture has found the federal government has zero suitable data source for monitoring the effect of agricultural and veterinary chemicals on humans.
Oh, what? None whatsoever?
No. The report also found data on pesticides in the environment was very local and generally just a snapshot in time. So this is compared to Europe, where they released a report last week saying widespread pesticide use in Europe is a major source of pollution, contaminating the water, soil and air. And they also did a large-scale human biomonitoring study between 2014 and 2021 across 5 European countries that found at least 2 pesticides were present in the bodies of 84% of survey participants.
Wow, that's...
We have nothing like that in Australia. No, how scary is
that? God knows how much is in there. I know when I visit my relos in Italy, they are so fastidious about washing the fruit, washing the vegetables, taking the skins. Like, they won't eat an apple with the skin on. Yeah. They take all that off.
Well, in Europe, they publish, you know, they publish metrics on this sort of stuff, how much pesticides is in your stuff. Mm. We don't do it here. Sport. AFL club presidents have voted unanimously to grant Tasmania the game's 19th licence, fulfilling a long-term dream of Tassie to get... Is the Holiday Isle? It's Holiday Isle, right?
Apple Isle.
The Apple Isle?
Speaking of apples.
Isle?
That's Bali for us, or Rotto.
Imagine if Bali got an AFL team. Half the AFL players end up over there anyway.
Could you imagine?
It'd be good. But so there you go. So
Bali Bintangs?
Yeah. So the $240 million of federal funding towards their stadium, it's only going to be 23,000 seat stadium.
But it's Tasmania. That's all relative.
That was a big factor. And they'll enter the league in 2027.
Have you heard, though, the sticking point this morning?
Yeah, the Warner Brothers own Tassie Devils.
Yes. They want to be called the Tassie Devils.
Great name.
But Warner Brothers has a trademark on it.
What about the Tassie Thylacines?
It's got such an amazing ring.
It rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Better than the Jack Jumpers.
The Wild West.
Okay, when you're travelling overseas, you ever look at booking.com for reviews of hotels?
Oh, yeah, I do that. Yeah,
you do that?
Or TripAdvisor or Airbnb.
Well,
all that.
Imagine looking at the review of a hotel and seeing a horror story about finding a corpse under the bed.
Oh, my God.
That was the situation that confronted a Chinese tourist when he checked into a hotel in Lhasa in Nepal. He's checked in, noticed a bit of a smell, has gone out, come back to his room. The smell is worse. Thought it was his feet. Initially, thought it was his feet.
And somebody dead.
Yeah, yeah. He's called the reception. They've said, we'll move into a different room. Then they've called him and said, can you come back to your original room? Cops were waiting. DNA test. We found a dead body under the bed. Maybe you did it.
Oh.
And then they're like, oh, no. We figured out someone else did it. He's posted a review online.
He posted a review online.
The hotel denied it. And so then he's gone public in the local Chinese media.
Oh, my God.
And the story has gone viral. How about that?
Wow, that is extreme, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's your news from the West Australian for Wednesday, May 3. And don't forget to subscribe to the West Live on your favourite podcast player. Maddie, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Will do. Have a great one, mate.
You've been listening to The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea. This Saturday, the footy is on 7 and 7 Mate.
Huge!
11:30 a.m. on 7, Eagles versus Tigers. Then Saturday night, the Dockers will look to smash the Hawks. Every Eagles and Dockers match is here on 7 and 7 Mate.